last week before his death. And now we've come to that day, Palm Sunday, where he made what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And people waved the palm branches and said, Hosanna. The night before, or actually the night that he was arrested, he had a supper with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. And then we take up the passage beginning in verse 40 or 36, right after that Last Supper. The Bible says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And then he came to the disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Pray with me for a moment. Father, pray that through your Spirit, your word might touch each of our lives to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In the King James Version of the Bible, and that's the one that I cut my teeth on and grew up on like many of you, verse 49 says that he went a little farther. You know, I have people today say things to me like, I want to go deeper with Jesus. Or they'll say, I just want to grow closer to Jesus. Now, these are well-meaning desires, but we need to understand with Jesus what it means to go a little further. Jesus went a little further to a place of submission. He went to a garden called Gethsemane. I find it interesting that the role that gardens play in the history of mankind. Did you know that history began in a garden in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8? And for those who are believers, the redeemed, history is going to come to an end in another garden in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. But what we're looking at today is a picture of two gardens, if you will, that transformed all of history. The Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden Tomb. Now the name in Aramaic, Gethsemane, literally means olive press. It was a private garden. You know, the people in Jerusalem didn't have space to make any kind of a garden or a private place they could go. Many of you in your own yards have a place where you can go. I know in my first church, in those times when Carol was looking for me and couldn't find me, and guys, they do that all the time, always looking for you. She knew where she could find me, and down by the edge of the woods, there was a stump. And I would go and sit there and look into the woods and just be quiet. And so the people in Jerusalem had gardens outside of the city. Many of them were on the Mount of Olives, on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Now, no one knows for certain where the Garden of Gethsemane was. If you go to the Holy Lands, they'll show you a place that they say it is, and it might be. These private gardens many times were fenced in. Many times had a gate into them with a lock. And so Jesus then had access to this private garden that had been made available to him. And this is kind of the physical place. But it was also, that night, a very quiet place. You know, if you want to get close to the Lord, you need to get all alone with God. And that's what Jesus did. So much of his life was taken up with people. And he loved people, and he had great compassion on the multitudes. And yet in those times of great care and concern, he needed to be alone with God. Your closeness to the Lord, by the way, never exceeds your time spent alone with him. Secondly, that place was a very lonely place on that night. Very lonely place. He said that he was deeply grieved. He was hurting. The hour had come. You see, the truth is, the further you go, the lonelier it gets. The song says that the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And if you'd have that kind of deep relationship with the Lord, you need to understand that it's a lonely place where you need to spend time with him. Secondly, though, Jesus understood that there was a price to pay, the price of submission. The price of submission. Luke's account in Luke chapter 22 tells us that Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling on the ground. How many of you understand or know what the condition of hematidrosis is? Show of hands. Hematidrosis. I saw one or two. People say, oh, well, that sweating great drops of blood I want you to understand that even in the encyclopedias, they'll refer back to that day with Jesus. Hematidrosis is very rare. It's a condition that's brought on by great stress. And what happens is the small little blood vessels in the sweat glands rupture under that stress. And the sweat literally then becomes sweat mixed with blood. And so when it talks about that physical pain, that agony that Jesus was going through, I want you to know it's a very, very real thing. People say, oh, well, you know, that's just Bible talk. It's a very real thing. Jesus was in agony physically. But more than that, Jesus was in agony spiritually. In verse 39, it says that he went beyond them and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father. And I love Mark's gospel. In Mark 14 and 36, Mark uses that word, that familiar word for God, that word that only his son could use, Abba, Father. It's as if he cried out, oh, my Father, if this could pass from me, if this cup could pass. And then he says, but thy will be done. You see, that night, and then the next day, Jesus drank the cup of suffering that we might drink the cup of salvation. Jesus, in that time, drank the cup of the wrath of God that we might drink the cup of mercy without wrath. You see, submission to the Lord always comes at great cost. When you begin to go a little further and begin to just completely submit yourself to the Lord, the price is your pride. You know, the only thing that stands between some people and a close walk with the Lord is pride. Self-will. Some forget that the price of separation many times has to be paid. And we're separated. Jesus said that it was like a knife, like a two-edged sword, separating even bone from marrow. And the picture of Jesus is families torn apart. One loving him and submitting themselves to him, and the others not abiding them any longer. And so there's a price to be paid. Jesus also gave us an example as he prayed a prayer of submission. He purposefully prayed. His prayer was a determined prayer. He said, my Father, if it is possible. And Mark says, I know that with all things are possible. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And as you read that scripture, then you need to pause. Yet not as I will, but as thou will. He prayed that prayer three times. Oh God, if this cup can pass. He prayed determined to be obedient to the will of God. He prayed reverently. He prayed passionately. And yet in all of it, he prayed submissively. So many times, we skip that part when we pray. And we take our little want list to the Lord. And we don't think about his will in all of that. It's like everything else in the world, gimme, gimme, gimme. He prayed earnestly, poured out his heart and soul to his Father. He purposefully prayed, but he also submissively prayed. To pray submissively is to, first of all, renounce your own will in a thing and completely submit and resign yourself to God's will. You see, that's the nevertheless of prayer. And it's as if you prayed, and I heard an old country fella in my first church, he said, "Lord, if I had my druthers, a druther," and told the Lord what he wanted. And you know that's a good way to pray. "Lord, if I had my druthers, you know my heart, and you know what I desire." But don't ever forget the nevertheless. Nevertheless, thy will, not mine, be done. The result of Jesus' time spent alone with the Father in the garden, the result of that prayer of submission, resulted in Jesus being filled with the peace of submission. Do you know what the peace of submission is? That peace that comes when you place something in the Father's hands and know that it's finished. Jesus rose from his knees in the peace that only comes in total submission. So many times we lack that peace because we lack that submission. Would it make a difference in your prayer life? Would it make a difference in your walk with the Lord if you did it submissively? Total submission. "Lord, whatever your will is, whatever it is, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Lord, more than that, whatever your will is, I rejoice in that." And when Jesus rose to his feet, he rose up with total, complete peace. The peace that Paul said passes all understanding. Now, there's an obvious question to all of this that I have to ask you. Where are you today? This is personal. Where are you today? Are you one of those ones that is always wishing, "Ooh, I'd want to go deeper. I want to be closer." Do you understand the principle of submission? Do you understand the principle of time alone with God? Do you understand those words that say, "Nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done." Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go a little bit farther. And the invitation this morning is simply this. Wouldn't you love to go a little bit farther with Jesus? Wouldn't you love to do that this morning? You can do it. The only thing that stands between you and that close walk is you. Let's pray. Father, we talk all the time about Jesus being a wonderful example. Oh God, he's so much more. In him we see the perfection of a life spent in you. And Father, we look on that life and we yearn to have it. God, help us to be willing, not self-willing, but willing, that you might work that in our lives. Father, I pray that as you speak to hearts this morning, precious, precious people will have a hunger and thirst to know you more, follow you closer. And I pray this morning that through your Spirit, they might be drawn to the garden with Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully. I know that in this world, a lot of people have all of Jesus they want. And you know, maybe it's a Sunday kind of thing. Maybe it's just a two or three times a year kind of thing. Once you develop a hunger and thirst to be with Jesus, nothing else will satisfy it. And I see people every day walking through this life in turmoil, unsatisfied, mean-spirited. They simply just need to surrender to Jesus. If that's the situation you're in this morning, you don't have to leave this place like that. You can come to Jesus. And as he got on his knees before the Father and said, "Oh, my Father," you can pray that prayer submissively. We're going to take a moment and sing, "Let You Come." You don't come to me, I'd love to pray with you. I'd be more than happy to help you. It's not a point of coming to the church. You come to Jesus. He stands ready to receive you. Stands with open arms, waiting. Waiting patiently. Will you come? Don, come and lead us as we sing. Step out on the very first verse.
49. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the night.